It is that time of the week. It is Friday. It has been a long week. We've spent far too much time with news programs, going from station to station and radio program to radio program. And my God, is there nothing in this earth that's going on today other than the fact that we have spent 6 days now, seven, I guess, Saturday through today, paying so much attention to funerals, a whacked out shooter, the recovery of the congresswoman. I give thanks for that. She's really quite a marvelous lady. But this seems to have taken over every bit of news, and I am concerned about it. I am concerned that this tragedy, which I'm afraid could have well been avoided, not because of security issues. As a congresswoman, she had the option of having the security. She chose not to have it. And one crazy nutcase who, as we have learned over the course of the last week, was exactly that. He was a nut. And the signs were there. The signs were there in school. The signs were there at home. The signs were there on the street. And nobody did a thing about it. But you've got a bunch of dumb, spineless sons of bitches in Washington, D.C. that think that gun control is the answer. Simply amazing. Good evening and welcome to another hour of life, liberty, and all that jazz. I am your host and commentator for the hour, Jeffrey Bennett. You are listening to this program live on this 14th day of January 2011. Yes, my friends, the year is 2 weeks over. It happens so quickly. Congress has been able to take a recess for this period of time, and they will allegedly go back to work doing only what they do best, which is finding ways to stick it to us, as they've done in Illinois, as they're about to do in the state of California. Let's just make the whole damn country non-business free, and we can send all of our jobs overseas. Markets, oh, well, whoop-de-doo. We're told we have a seventh straight week of up. Earnings and economic data allegedly allowed the Dow to close up 55.5-odd points this afternoon, closing at 11,787. Seems to me at one time it was 14,000, so we got a long way to go. NASDAQ was up 20 to close at 2755. S&P 500 up 9. And I'm going to joke. Ended their week at 1,293. Global Dow is up 4 in the after hours at 2145. Oil up another 27 cents. Currently at $91.67 a barrel. Gold, what a horrible day for the metals. And, oh, frankly, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. What about you? Gold down $12.20 in the after hours, down $26 on the day, closing at $1,361.80. Silver down 26 at $28.48 an ounce. What a week this has been. Stay with us. I think we're going to a break. I'm not sure. I don't know anything. I'm not hearing anything. Oh, you skipped. All right, don't tell that to anybody. Platinum up 10 bucks in the after hours. Lord knows why. Who's buying jewelry? $1,811. Oh, that must be because of the massive rebound in the automobile sales market. Catalytic converters are being built again. It's exciting. Strictly exciting. Alexander Hamilton. You know who he is. He's the guy on the $10 bill. I believe he was also our first, Secretary of the Treasury or something like that. Of course, Hamilton wasn't his real name. That was his adopted name. And unfortunately, years ago, I somehow misplaced. It may still be in my files. I have Alexander Hamilton's real name. Let's just say that it ended in Steen, and we'll let it go at that. Hamilton once said, "Necessity, especially in politics, often occasions false hopes, false reasonings, and a system of measures correspondently erroneous. The question I pose to you, do targets, pictures of targets on a map, incite violence? Federal Judge John Roll, who was laid to rest today, a Republican, recommended for the bench by Senator John McCain many years ago, nominated by President George Herbert Walker Bush, that's daddy to you. Judge Roll was among the six citizens murdered by a psychopath in Tucson last week. As we all know, Democrat representative, former Republican, by the way, and still very much moderate, Gabrielle Giffords was among 14 wounded, and her recovery prospects are not just promising, they're simply amazing. These deaths and injuries are an incalculable tragedy, my friends, and equally so are the deaths and injuries of thousands of other violent crime victims each and every year all over this nation. Of course, then there's the nonviolent crimes, you know, the ones that happen at the hands of doctors in hospitals where there are greater deaths. There are more deaths in this country each and every year due to malpractice and mistakes in hospitals at the hands of surgeons, not all surgeons, of course, but certainly some, than there are at the hands of crazed gunmen. But that's not what the media wants us to hear of course. Representative Giffords, a moderate Democrat, self-described strong supporter of the Second Amendment. Well, that notwithstanding, the Democratic Party has already undertaken to convert the Tucson crisis into political fodder for gun control and hate speech legislation, and a national conversation with the objective of silencing conservative political speech. You see, my friends, a gun did not commit the attack in Tucson, Arizona, as the left would like us all to believe. The perpetrator was a mentally deranged 22-year-old Jared Lee Loeffner, who chose to use a gun rather than some other method to orchestrate his mayhem. And so what do we know about the motivation of this killer? Former classmate Katie Parker described Loeffner as left-wing and a pothead. And though Loeffner listed Hitler's Mein Kampf and Marx's Communist Manifesto among his favorite books, it is unlikely that these leftist texts or any other leftist political propaganda drove him to mass murder. According to his so-called friend Bruce Tierney, Loeffner fixated on Giffords after she was confused by a question he posed in a previous public forum about government manipulation of grammar. Loeffner asked Giffords, how do you know words mean anything? Well, her confusion was, I suppose, somewhat understandable. And though there is not a shred of evidence linking Loeffner's actions to political rhetoric, Democrats have seized the day by invoking Barack Hussein Obama's former White House Chief of Staff, Rahm Emanuel's rule number one. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And so their first order of business was to focus on one Sarah Palin, specifically a political map from her SarahPAC website that identified vulnerable Democrat districts with crosshairs. Now, one of those districts was Giffords' 8th congressional district in southern Arizona. Liberals argued that such imagery contributed to the violence in Tucson. It turns out, of course, that the Democrats have used much more inflammatory graphics, such as a Heartland strategy map on the official Democrat Leadership Council's website, which identified something they referred to as enemy lines. And then Democrats went after conservative media commentators like Rush Limbaugh, websites like Patriot Shop U.S. And I guess in their own way, they've attacked the sites of the RBNs and the Federal Observers and God knows how many countless of others who tend to dispense information that the average American might not necessarily read about in their local Birdcage Liner or watch on Communist News Network or CBS or anywhere else. Because they've accused people of our ilk of inciting violence with hate speech. When asked if the Tea Party movement was an instigator, Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat from Arizona, said, "For a while, you have been feeding this hatred, this division. You feed it, you encourage it. Some of the extreme right wing has made demonetization of elected officials their priority." Thank you, Raul. Because once one does a quick search of comments by Democrat leaders and liberal media talking heads, reveals a hefty strain of hypocrisy. Of course, were it not for double standards, liberals wouldn't have any at all, but that's a program for another day. At a Democrat fundraiser, Obama had this to say about countering his Republican adversaries. He said, "If they bring a knife to the fight, we bring a gun." Woo. Of course, he identified Republicans as hostage takers, later saying that, "I don't want to quell anger. I think people are right to be angry. I'm angry," Obama said. Well, I didn't consider any of that to be hate speech, just a clarification of how seriously and how far the Democrats are willing to take their political fight. Recently, Joe Biden, one of the biggest jerks to ever sit in D.C. that I've ever seen, Biden said, "If I hear one more Republican tell me about balancing the budget, I'm going to strangle them." Well, Biden didn't mean that literally, of course, because frankly, the gutless weenie wouldn't have the cojones to wrap his fingers around anybody's neck. "Oh, please try it, Joe, because my knee will find your groin very quickly. And I'll shove what was once a pair of nuts so far up inside of you that you'll never know what hit you." And yet we're supposed to believe that Sarah Palin's crosshairs map was somehow an incitement for the targeted assassination of Gabrielle Giffords. In a New York Times op-ed this week, of course, where else? Former Democratic Representative Paul Kanjorski declared, "It is incumbent on all Americans to create an atmosphere of civility and respect in which political discourse can flow freely, without fear of violent confrontation." Thank you, Representative Kanjorski. Number one, I'm shocked to hear that emanating from the orifice of a Democrat, but more importantly, I'm absolutely flabbergasted to find out that the New York Times would post such a positive comment. You have to keep in mind, though, this is the same Representative Kanjorski who had these words for a then Florida gubernatorial candidate, Rick Scott. He said they ought to hang him and shoot him. Put him against the wall. Shoot him. Ah, yes, Representative Kanjorski, civility, respect. And, of course, we get this subtlety from the left. Oh, there are different members of the left. Don't kid yourself. A few other rhetorical examples from the official Democrat Party website. The Democratic National Committee plans to target Republican John McCain. God, I wish they'd been successful. From the website of former Democratic Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi, once again, the Republican leadership has launched an attack on working families, she said. Of course, the target this time is one of the cornerstones of protection for American workers, Pelosi continued. And from the website of Senator Claire McCaskill, a Democrat from Missouri, "It's really time for Americans to take a pitchfork," she said. Oh, honey, don't bend over in front of me, please. Because your butt is so wide, you'll get all four forks right where it counts. Of course, then you have headlines from left media sources. Here's some of the headlines. Democrats launch website targeting Republican lies. That was the Washington Post. And from NPR, oh, what a marvelous national public radio. Obama administration officials say they were targeting Republican senators. Well, that's from CNN. NPR said a coalition known as Americans United for Change is targeting Republican senators. So they all just copy each other. There's nothing new under the sun. Huffington Post, Dems play hardball, target Republican senators. And CBS says, in the meantime, Obama will continue to target Republicans. And finally, from MSNBC's Chris Rotundis Matthews, I have to tell you, Rush Limbaugh's looking more and more like Mr. Big, and at some point, somebody's going to jam a CO2 pellet into his head, and he's going to explode like a giant blimp. Do you have any clue as to what Chris Matthews was talking about? There was a James Bond movie made. Actually, the first film made with Roger Moore. It was called Live and Let Die. Yaphet Kotto played Mr. Big. And that was his demise at the end. A CO2 pellet was shoved into his mouth, jammed his jaw up there, and of course the CO2 pellet exploded, blah, 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 blah. All right, there's your Hollywood little history for the day. Of course, the Media Research Center has compiled numerous other violent threats issued by high visibility liberals against conservatives. No doubt clueless as to these many examples of leftist incitement, the celebrities pile on. Hanoi Jane Fonda, who infamously posed on a North Vietnamese Army anti-aircraft gun only yards from where the North Vietnamese prison guards were torturing American POWs. She summed up the situation thusly. She said progressive Arizona Representative Gabriel Giffords is shot. In her ad, Sarah Palin had her targeted as a gun sight, inciting to violence. Hey, thanks for your input, bitch. Excuse me, folks. I know that that's appalling to you to hear me use that five-letter word on the air, but frankly, as a Vietnam veteran, that's all I can refer to Jane Fonda as. And sometime overnight tonight, on my website, federalobserver.com, I will be posting an amazing story about the kind of torture that our Vietnamese, that our POWs in Vietnam, what they were subjected to. One man's story. And it was just yards away that Jane Fonda was doing her dastardly best. The only reason I refer to her as a bitch is because I won't use the C word on the air. I'm sorry. I do draw the line somewhere. Oh, let's not forget the other leftist celebrity who chimed in this week. Fidel Castro wrote an op-ed wherein he said, the Tea Party, constituted by the most reactionary and political backwards elements of society, in the midst of the crisis and disappointment over the promises that Obama has been unable to fulfill, will take the country into the abyss. Ain't that where you've taken Cuba, Jack? And of course, speaking of op-eds, consider once again the New York Times, how they opined on two tragedies. In 2009, after Nidal Malik Hassan killed 13 people and wounded 30 others at Fort Hood, Texas, all the while yelling, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, New York Times editors wrote, in the aftermath of this unforgivable attack, it will be important to avoid drawing prejudicial conclusions from the fact that Major Hassan is an American Muslim whose parents came to the Middle East. President Obama was right when he told Americans, we don't know all the answers yet, and cautioned everyone against jumping to conclusions. I've got two words for you, pal. Up there. Well, so my friends, this week after the attacks in Tucson, that same New York Times opined, it is facile and mistaken to attribute this particular madman's act directly to Republicans or Tea Party members, but it is legitimate to hold Republicans, in particular their most virulent supporters in the media, responsible for the gale of anger that has produced the vast majority of these threats, setting the nation on edge. Many on the right have exploited the arguments of division, reaping political power by demonizing immigrants or welfare recipients or bureaucrats. They seem to have persuaded many Americans that the government is not just misguided, but the enemy of the people. And now, having seen firsthand the horror of personal violence, Arizona should lead the nation in quieting the voices of intolerance, demanding an end to the temptations of bloodshed, and imposing sensible controls on its instruments. Imposing sensible controls on its instruments? What in the hell is meant by that? Well, as they say, never let a crisis, a serious crisis, go to waste. Pennsylvania Democrat, Republican, oh, I'm sorry, Demo Rep, Democrat Representative Robert Brady is proposing expansion of the hate speech legislation, outlawing language or symbols that could be perceived as threatening or inciting violence against a member of Congress. Outlawing language or symbols. Is my middle finger a symbol that could be perceived as threatening or inciting violence against a member of Congress? I certainly hope so. And of course, California Democrat Senator Barbara Boxer says, I believe we should look at sensible gun laws again. Sensible? There's nothing sensible about you people. You've got laws on the books. You choose not to enforce them. Of course, Boxer goes on to say, now, I'm not saying that these sensible gun laws would have stopped this killer. You're right, Barbara. It would not have. But I do know this, she said. It should not be easy for a killer to obtain a weapon that could kill or wound 20 people. Does that go for a baseball bat, too? How about a kitchen knife? Slingshot. Crossbow. Of course, if I go down to the, you know, one particular section of Phoenix, I suppose they got spears, but, okay, you rolled your eyes, you said, what? He said what? You know exactly what I'm saying. This is the argument I had. I finally had this discussion with my liberal New York friend today. The one that called me and left the message about, you damn people in Arizona with your guns, blah, 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 blah. He finally called about another issue today. We're having a very lengthy discussion about this 1099 issue that comes up in another 11 months and 2 weeks. You know, the one with the $600 reporting and all that stuff. He's appalled. He's a CPA. He's a tax attorney, and he was not aware of this. So I'm apprising him, and so now we get around to the discussion about the gun situation and the shooting last week. And I said, you know, I got your message, Ray. But the reality is, you believe that everyone should have no right to own a handgun. Rifles are okay, according to you, but not handguns. I said, do you realize that if your dream came true, responsible individuals such as myself would no longer legally be able to own a handgun for the purposes of protecting my family? But this character down in Tucson didn't give a damn about the law. And most murderers and rapists and thugs and robbers and drug dealers, none of them are going to follow the law. Oh, gee, we're dealing millions of dollars of drugs a year, but in America, you can't own a handgun anymore. We'll have to turn ours in. Yeah, right. Now, here's crisis response number three. Here's the one I like. You know, it's like the dead keep getting drug up out of their graves. Senator Frank Lautenberg, another Democrat. This one from Jersey, by the way. By the way, kudos to Jersey. Governor Christie's doing a great job. Lautenberg announced that he's working with New York Democratic Representative Carolyn McCarthy. I mean, this gal looks like a prune that was a reject out of a Dole box. They're going to propose legislation that would ban the manufacture and sale of high-capacity magazines like those used in Tucson. According to McCarthy, let me tell you something. So let's see. If I couldn't have a capacity of 30 or 31 rounds or whatever it is, I could go in there with two guns and still do the same thing. These people are stupid. According to McCarthy, my staff is working on looking at the different legislation fixes that we might be able to do and we might be able to introduce as early as Monday. Well, let's see now. Since alcohol-related auto wrecks kill far more Americans than sociopaths with guns, perhaps McCarthy and Lautenberg will soon be out with legislation requiring a 5-day waiting period to buy a beer. And, of course, no high-capacity six-pack purchases will be allowed.
Hey, let's take away Lautenberg and McCarthy's driver's licenses.
Well, by the way, did I mention that alcohol is a detriment in more than 70% of violent crimes? A determinant. Now, for the record, we fully support everyone's individual right to possess, transport, and consume alcohol. But I also support the notion that you have an individual responsibility in society not to endanger others by driving in public after using it. Now, let me share with you some quick facts about criminals who use guns. Annual murder rate per 100,000 people on the European continent is 5.4. In the United States, it's 5.6. That according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics. However, if you are not involved with drug users or gangbangers, your chances of being murdered drop to par with the more civilized Western European nations of about 1.5 per 100,000. As for leftist attempts to disarm America, no amount of gun control will stop criminals from committing violent crimes against innocent men, women, and children through arguably gun restrictions, though arguably gun restrictions can increase violent crimes. And that, my friends, is a historical accuracy. The United States city with the most restrictive gun laws in the nation is Washington, D.C., and they've got the highest murder rate at 24 per 100,000. Now, during certain times of the year, I know of 545 others that could be added to that list, but we don't want that to be considered a threat. The state with the most unrestrictive gun regulations is Vermont. They've got the lowest murder rate at 0.48 per 100,000. You see, if you don't get it yet, my friends, violence is a cultural problem. It is not a gun problem. Will you stay with us? We're going to be back in a few minutes and kind of conclude this little discussion. Something for you to think about on this long weekend.
That's right. Monday's a holiday, baby.
We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendovite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendovite.
Extendovite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendovite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendovite. To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
I'll tell you what. Guys are simply amazing. The emails I've received throughout the course of the break, first of all, my grandmother, my granny, who's taking good care of me, sent me a piece regarding Alexander Hamilton. Hamilton was a rat from the get-go, the article begins. His real name was Alexander Levine, son of a Jew named John Michael Levine and a mulatto named Rachel Fawcett. I'm sure no relation to Farrah. Also, comment from Hippie, which I will not repeat on the air. He referenced the other word I was looking for. Kathleen, my dear, thank you. She says, no apologies. Fonda is a treasonous bitch. And her head surface now to, it's hard to read. And her head surface now to join up in chorus with the treasonous commie, rest of the commie bitches, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm not making it to Vegas. I didn't make it. Let's see. Hippie once again says, I carry a gun because a cop is too heavy and won't fit in my waistband. Oh, my goodness. Gene, thank you. Thanks to all of you for those comments. We'll share the Alexander Hamilton story another day with you. Some other pieces came to me while we were on the air, and we're going to go back to one of them in just a few moments. But I want to finish this commentary, which is so eloquently done by Mark Alexander at the Patriot Post. Mark is quite a prolific writer, and I'm very privileged to be able to share his commentary. Mark nears the end by stating that violence is a cultural problem, not a gun problem. Of course, the left seizes on tragedies like Tucson, as they did with Oklahoma City and others, in order to advance their political agenda, which is a sham and a shame. Their gun safety proposals have nothing to do with safety and everything to do with disarming Americans. Fortunately, for the moment, the Second Amendment in our Bill of Rights, what's left of it, still provides something of an obstacle for leftists like Boxer and Lautenberg and the like. Liberals are predisposed to blame shifting rather than addressing issues such as the stark social entropy engineered by their socialist policies. Democrats would rather blame inanimate objects like guns. Ronald Reagan once said, we must reject the idea that every time a law is broken, that society is guilty rather than the lawbreaker. It is time to restore the American precept that each individual is accountable for his actions. Hear, hear. We certainly ask you to join us in prayer for all victims of criminal violence and negligence across this nation and for their families. But my God, what a simply amazing week it's been. But I want to spend this final few minutes with sharing with you an interesting column written by Rabbi Dov Fisher, entitled "Always the Jews, Not Give the Maniac Credit for What He Is." Rabbi Fisher says the search for truth and understanding is not helped by searching endlessly for a Jewish angle in every cockamamie and outlier news event. In the aftermath of the tragic and evil shooting of Representative Giffords in Arizona, American Jewish news sources entered the conversation by noting that Representative Giffords was Jewish and that her attacker, Jared Lee Loeffler, is associated with extreme hate groups. The suggestion that her tragedy was an act of anti-Semitism. Rabbi Fisher says, "I respectfully beg to differ. Although everything in the divine's world may unfold in ways that impact Jews, not everything arises from someone thinking about the Jews. Edward VIII did not abdicate the throne of England after 10 months because he was infatuated with the chance to marry a woman who had divorced a Jew. Oh yes, Wallace Simpson had divorced Ernst Aldrich Simpson. His father, Ernest Lewis Simpson, had changed his surname from Solomon. It's always the Jews. Jared Lee Loeffler," the rabbi continues, "is just a nut. He has earned by dint of his own merit the privilege of being deemed a 100% crackpot. Yes, he may have had an interface with a hate group whose name I choose not to publicize further, possibly because that group hates Latinos or African Americans or perhaps even people from a distant planet where Loeffler perhaps thinks he once lived. And for that matter, perhaps his anger stems from a perception that he has friends living on Pluto, which had been stripped of its planetary identity without its input. But regardless, the search for truth and understanding is not helped by searching endlessly for a Jewish angle," the rabbi says, "in every cockamamie and outlier news event. Representative Giffords identified as a Jew? No. Besides that, she apparently once encountered Loeffler at a similar public function where he asked her this irrational question we shared with you earlier, and she answered him by speaking in Spanish. Observers suggest that he may have hated her ever since. Irrespective of her religion, her politics, and how she voted on Obamacare. In the pursuit of finding the so-called Jewish angle, we are next told that this maniac loved Mein Kampf, but he also loved Marx's Communist Manifesto and Aesop's Fables and Carol's Alice in Wonderland and The Wizard of Oz and Peter Pan. And the rabbi says, my mind can be persuaded otherwise, but I'm not yet convinced that this tragedy is about any of the various media interest groups that fascinate journalists seeking a greater consciousness in the face of madness. It's not about the Tea Party any more than John Hinckley shot Reagan because of frenzied Democratic rhetoric at the time demonizing Mr. Reagan. Brother Hinckley wanted to impress a fictional movie character whom actress Jodie Foster had portrayed in the De Niro film Taxi Driver. The present maniac, Mr. Loeffler, wanted to change the currency or English grammar. Really? It's kind of like the murderer who assassinated former U.S. Representative Ellard K. Lowenstein in his office in 1980. He had been close to Lowenstein, but became a paranoid schizo. Much as some people needed to find a Jewish angle in Lowenstein's death or blame the Republicans for prosecuting the Vietnam War in the face of Lowenstein's principled objections. The bottom line is that he was murdered by a deranged man who thought Lowenstein was plotting against him personally. Nor did Manson's extended family slaughter Sharon Tate because she was married to a Jewish filmmaker. Representative Giffords' mother, Gloria Fraser, was a Christian Scientist. In 2001, at age 31, Giffords joined a temple, began identifying with the paternal side of her ethnicity. The interesting thing, though, is that her Jewish paternal line grandfather, Akiba Hornstein, changed the family's name to Giffords in order to hide their Jewish identity. And now with Hornstein's granddaughter tragically shot by a wacko, certain journalists scamper to turn her tragedy into an act of anti-Semitism. Seems that some people can run, but they can't hide. And although Loeffler may indeed have been motivated by anti-Jewish animus, a rabbi concludes by saying, I'm skeptical. Give the crazy man his due. He's just plain insane. I found that an interesting commentary, because there seems to be this, as he opened up, that all of a sudden the Jewish rags started screaming anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism. Why is it that you cannot make a statement about an individual who happens to be a Jew and they have to turn it into something else? It's just simply amazing to me. It just never ceases to surprise me. I guess I'm going to have to call. Thanks, Doc. I don't know if she was that or not. I thought her father was somewhat atheistic, so I didn't know what the heck she was. You know. Now, finally, and it was not my intent to spend the hour doing this, but I realized that in this particular position, an audience has certain expectations. They want to hear the commentaries and the views of various different commentators and broadcasters, and I chose to pretty well ignore this entire situation all week. As many of you know, I was not here live in the studio yesterday. I reached a point that, to be honest with you, I was tired out. I was just flat, worn down. I had things that had been building up on me, projects and things that I had to do for some of our clients. And it wasn't so much a product-related situation, but we had some clients with some pretty extensive questions about a number of issues. And I had to just flat shut down last night. I got out of here and took my wife out to dinner. It was not a particularly good dinner, to be honest with you. My favorite server, Jeanette, who I once wrote a marvelous piece about, which was published on another website under a pseudonym, which means a phony name. And that's the prime reason I go there. Not for the prime rib, because it just ain't all that good. But the dinner wasn't that good. My wife and I had been out two nights before it and frankly gone to Applebee's and had a far better meal. I felt that the meat was just butchered to death last night. The shrimp that came with it was so damn greasy it was sickening. But it was nice to get out with the wife and just frankly get out of this office for a couple of hours. I work where I live. I live where I work. And I reach a point that with the hours that I work on five or six different websites that I have involvement with, three of which are financial-based, one is alternatively health-based, one is an online art gallery, and, of course, then there's Federal Observer. All of these take an inordinate amount of time. And that is in addition to caring for clients, many of whom I've had for close to two decades. Others are clients and their needs here for Republic Trading Group and those that we serve the network. And I just reached that point. I just said, I can't do a show last night. I could have done one, but I wouldn't have been particularly happy. So we re-aired last Tuesday night's program and hope it didn't bore you to death. But I decided to take this time tonight, rather than spending an hour talking on economic issues and the headlines of the week, because frankly none of them are any better than they were a week ago or a month ago, contrary to what our marvelous politicals like to tell us. And I determined that today was the day that I was going to make my comments on these issues. I, moments ago, I guess this may have come in about an hour ago from a good friend of mine, Tina the Terrible up north. And Granny, you know who I'm talking about. And she informs me that she heard a report on NPR this morning. She claims that the report is well-researched, convincingly conclusive. She has provided me a link to an article entitled Fame Through Assassination, a Secret Service Study. Tina tells me that perhaps this will put to rest the despicable, childish political blame game being played by many who appear to be, unfortunately, almost all Democratic progressives, whose fury seems to have been sparked by their losing so resoundingly at the polls last November and are now desperately looking for a way to lay blame for this tragic atrocity on those who beat the pants off of them and rebuke their socialistic agenda. If NPR concludes the shootings were totally apolitical, perhaps Chris Matthews or Paul Krugman and others committing what Sarah Palin very accurately called blood libel will back off. But unfortunately, they probably won't. They're all acting like the creepy, screeching, finger-pointing pod people in the excellent remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers with Donald Sutherland, and expecting an actual apology for their groundless and scurrilous accusations is probably too much to ask, since, to paraphrase the ultimate idiotic line from the movie Love Story, being a self-righteous progressive whose sacred dogma is that all conservatives are rabid hate mongers whose very words drive madmen to shoot up innocent people means never having to say you're sorry. Oh, boy. It is with relish that I look forward to an extremely peaceful weekend. I am alone this weekend. The house is empty. I spent some time doing some work outside. No, I did not know Farrah Fawcett. Yeah, I know. Thanks, Lawrence. It is... but their last name was spelled differently. I'm going to spend some time doing some things this weekend. The weather was marvelous today, the best day it's been in months. I had the doors and the windows open, and I may get out tomorrow and scrub some screens and wash some windows. I had a lot of work done in the yard this morning to clean up the damage of the winter frosts. And, yes, we have hard freezes in the desert, my friends. And... Lord knows what's coming next week. I've got some work to do on the Republic Trading Group website over the weekend. I've got to diligently work into the night to find our usual weekend posting because, as many of you know, I choose not to post headlines on the weekend, but something a little bit more important, something to think about. Now, before I forget it, Tony, and I'm hoping that's your name. I'm blanking right now. You know who I'm talking about. Please give me a call tonight. And grab a drink and give me a call. Anyway, we're going to go to a break in a moment. We come back, we'll have some final closing comments for the weekend. I don't know what they'll be, but we'll come up with something. We certainly invite you to spend some time, visit, and read the headlines. Follow the insanity at RepublicTradingGroupInternational.com. Had many, many calls this week. We're still doing an unbelievable amount of business in silver. As we mentioned to you, markets are down immensely in gold and silver. If you're looking to add, give me a call, 800-691-7898. You've got some curiosities. You've got some questions. I'm more than willing to spend the time with you. It's I don't need to make a dime every time we're on telephone together. But there's lots of good information out there. We will continue to post some interesting, great video up there today. Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. You want to know what some of the marvelous jazz was back in that era? Take a good, good look at that piece. It's a great video. Day before, on Wednesday, I loved it. Thursday, Cab Calloway singing a song called Reefer Madness. I have a number of oddball reasons why I chose to post that. Great piece of music. If nothing else. So let's see, what else we got going on here? Any headlines that we just absolutely can't avoid getting into? Where are we here? Most of them I don't even care about. You know, I reached the end of the... Zsa Zsa Gabor's right leg was amputated, if that's important to anyone. One of Ronald Reagan's sons, I'm going to assume it was probably Mike... Now, his youngest son, Ron Reagan, has suggested that his father may, in fact, have suffered from Alzheimer's while in the White House. Very interesting. Ronald Reagan has a new book out called My Father at 100, which is due out next week. Probably not the greatest president, but a statesman and a gentleman. And we seem to be missing all of the above in politics of this nation today. By the way, Steele, the guy that was head of the Republican Party, he's out. Done. One term, and they said, we don't like you, boy. Hit the road. Well, they didn't say boy, because that would be taken incorrectly. Been replaced by a 38-year-old Wisconsin Republican Party chairman who's got quite a track record. Interesting stuff. Other than that, I don't see a lot of headlines that I really care about. It's been a strange week, I told you. This entire week seems to have been driven news-wise with the subject of today's program, although I hope we've approached it in a somewhat different aspect than maybe you've considered or has been presented to you. That's what we do here. Give you something to think about. And that is something that's lacking in this country today. The process of thought. We seem to have a lot of action, but there's no thought behind it. And that is something that each and every one of us need to do. We need to put some thought before we open our mouths. We need to put some thought behind whatever actions we're going to take. What's the outcome of those actions going to be? How is it going to affect other people in our immediate family, our neighbors, our community, and in some respects, our nation? Am I saying lay down and do nothing? Absolutely not. For that has become the biggest mistake in the United States of America. This lay down and do nothing attitude. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else be the leader. Let someone else clean up the streets. Let someone else clean up the government. I went out and cast my vote. I did my part. The hell you did. If all you did was out and cast your vote and went back home and went back to sleep, well, guess what? Then you're just as guilty. Just as guilty, because in my mind, you've done nothing. These are things to give serious consideration to. So, what will next week bring? Well, unfortunately, Congress is going back to work, which always can be devastating. The perpetrators are picking up their weapons once again. These people are concerned about the damage that a single gun can do, but they give no consideration to the damage to 308 million people that their vote can do. Their vote is a far more devastating weapon than a Glock or a Smith & Wesson or anything else you could possibly pick up. Their vote has become so devastating. Oh, I guess they're going to go back to work discussing the repeal of Obamacare. It's got nothing to do with Obamacare. It's got nothing to do with better health care. It's not improving the care. I hate to say it, but maybe the government would have screwed that up too. Because while they're waiting for all these different legs to take place, who did I talk to today? Their health insurance is going up 58%. Obama said, if you want to keep your present health insurance, you can keep it. But what he forgot to say, or he said it under his breath, is, if you can afford it. Those are the kind of weapons that are being used against us. Votes, legislation, bogus bills, bogus laws, all-encompassing, all-controlling, all-seeking laws. And people want to sit there and tune into the radio every single day. 12, 14 hours a day. I remember when I was at RBN last time and I filled in for John one day. I've told you this story before. Gentleman called in one day and there was a time the network was on pretty shaky ground. John didn't know if he could keep it together. And this guy calls in and says, I don't know what I'm going to do if something happens to y'all. I listen to Republic Broadcasting 12, 14 hours a day. And I said to him, why? Why do you want to devote that much time of your day and your night to listen to this network or any other network? Why don't you pick out 4 or 5 hours that are worthwhile to you, or go back and get the archives on your own time? Why don't you get out there and do something within your community for the other 8 hours a day? May not be a paying job, baby, but it'll pay you back, no pun intended here, in spades. You know, like a deck of cards, clubs, spades, hearts, diamonds. Yeah. Be a leader in your own home. Be a leader in your own community, your own village, your own hamlet. If you can't lead at home, then get the hell out of our way. Thanks a lot for sharing your valuable time with me this evening. Till the good Lord sees fit to bring us together again without apology. I am Jeffrey Bennett. That suit my taste. And your fingertips, they cannot be replaced. Oh, baby, what you got, nobody has. And I got you. Yes, I got you. I got you. And all that jazz.
Gold, ever climbing.